From the best-selling Christian Heroes Then and Now series, YWAM Publishing presents John Williams, Messenger of Peace, by Janet and Jeff Benge. Read for you by Tim Gregory. For information about other titles in this outstanding series, please visit our website at ywampublishing.com or call us at 800-922-2143. Chapter 1. Our Father is Alive.
"I will return soon,"
John Williams yelled to the Achu Islanders as he waded into the lagoon and climbed aboard the rowboat, taking his place at the stern. Two tattooed Polynesian men heaved on the oars in unison, and the boat began to cut its way across the calm, crystal-clear water. John turned to wave to his island friends, who were now singing a traditional farewell song. The words drifted across the lagoon to him as he thought about his first encounter years before with the people of this island. Back then, their chief, Romatane, had regularly ordered children to be sacrificed and enemies cooked and eaten in honor of the many gods they worshipped. They also robbed and starved the first missionaries who came to work among them. But now, they called their island Lotu, given to God. Now, there was a thriving Christian church on Achu, and Polynesian teachers from the Society Islands taught the people to read and write. Slowly, the singing from shore was drowned out by the thunderous crash of breakers on the coral reef that surrounded the island. The Polynesian rowers were maneuvering the boat through a gap in the reef when one of them yelled, "Hold on!" John whipped his head up to see an enormous freak wave descending on the rowboat. The craft was quickly upended, and before he could grab a hold of anything, John was flung into the surging water. He gasped one last breath as the force of the wave pulled him under. Frantically, he thrashed his arms and kicked his legs, but it was no use. The undercurrent was too strong. His lungs throbbed for air as he felt himself being pulled farther downward.
"I can't drown. I can't drown. There are too many islands to go. I have to reach them all,"
John told himself over and over as he fought the urge to breathe. He kicked harder and harder, and slowly, very slowly, he felt himself begin to rise. Suddenly, his head burst through the surface. He opened his mouth, and the air exploded into his lungs. After several deep breaths, he looked around to get his bearings. The ship they were headed for lay in the distance, and the capsized rowboat was bobbing near the reef about 20 yards away. John could see the two rowers swimming for shore. Still sputtering, he began swimming after them, his nose and throat burned from the salt water. Wham! Another huge wave crashed over John. This time it hurled him forward onto the coral reef.
"God help me!"
he prayed as he felt his left leg being torn open by the sharp coral. He knew that many men, even expert Polynesian sailors, had perished on the reefs, where they were dragged under by the waves and trapped in the many caverns and fissures. Before drowning, their flesh was ripped to shreds on the razor-sharp coral. John could not let that happen to him. Once again, he frantically kicked and thrashed as he tried to get away from the jagged reef. But with each burst of effort, the current pushed him back. John's strength was beginning to fail when two sets of strong arms surrounded him.
"Rest on us. We will get you to shore."
John looked around to see two Achu men, one on either side of him. He felt their powerful legs kick, and slowly they all moved away from the danger of the reef and into the calm, safe water of the lagoon. The men pulled John along until he felt sand beneath his feet.
"Our Father is alive! Our Father is alive! We thought you drowned, but you are alive!"
cried the Achu Christians as they ran to help John up onto the beach. Many of them kissed his hands and laughed with joy. As he rested on the beach after the ordeal, John wondered how he could ever explain to his friends back in England the adventures he had experienced since coming to the South Pacific. In fact, it was difficult for him to believe some of his adventures. He now lived in such a different world from his friends and from the life he had known as an apprentice back in London. Things could all have been so different if he had not met Mrs. Tonkin on the street that Sunday night so many years ago. Without that seemingly chance meeting, he could be back in England plying his trade as an ironmonger, instead of being halfway around the world, proclaiming the gospel among the cannibals and fierce warriors.